The Lord shall deliver thee. When the Lord gave me the first message, I said, that's the best message I've ever heard on deliverance. Then the Lord gave me number two, and I said, that is the best one. But I was wrong. This one is the best one. Yay. It's a series. It is not the same. It's not the same scriptures. Everybody has their own need. Can you say amen? Amen. And there's a scripture in one of these sermons that's going to touch somebody. Can you say amen? So today we want to continue to look at this scripture, which has become our text for this little series. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The problem with us is we do not believe the Word of God. We read it, oh, that's sweet, that sounds nice, but does He mean it? I believe He means it. And He'll deliver us and deliver us until it's time for us to go to heaven. Judy Carter, I mean, she had cancer, her father was dying, she had all kind of issues. God delivered her every time until last night, and He said, it's time. Amen. When it's time, it's time. But until my time comes, I intend to keep the devil on the run. Submit to God and risk the devil, and he'll flee. And well, you know it or not, every problem and every temptation and every negative thought you have is one way or the other supported by the devil himself. He sets you up. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That even means we're on flesh and blood, because he can amplify our desires to the point they're almost irresistible. So the devil can be behind even what you desire and crave. I know God can put a desire in your heart for the things he wants, but for the bad things, that's the devil. Can you say amen? No matter what our temptation or challenge is, the Lord will deliver us from the evil one. Matthew 6:13, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wonder why he said that. That is a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray that every day. Why? Because there is an evil one. Well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, Jesus did. And we need to believe what he believed. Can you say amen? Be deliver us from the evil one. The Lord will deliver us from the evil one, Satan. In King James, it says deliver us from the evil. When it's put a the in front of it, it means the evil one. The Greek is a little different from English. And in order to make that mean the evil one, it puts the evil. Makes it personal. The evil, which is the devil. Yay, the evil. Satan, the evil one. The Lord will deliver us from the evil one, which is Satan. The Lord will make a way of escape. You see, we are to pray, deliver us from the evil one. And if we are told to pray that, then he's going to do it. But we can't be disobedient and say, like I used to say, the Lord knows what I need. He can take care of it if he wants to. No, no, no. I have to ask. Can you say, that's right. That's right. And lead us not into temptation. Pray this. Deliver us from the evil one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen to this. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And we know the devil basically has the same temptations for all of us. And if one can resist and win over the devil, we all can. Amen. If we know these scriptures and believe them. Faith comes by hearing, as I said before I started this sermon. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And sometimes we have to go through some very hard, difficult things, like the death of a close friend, like Judy, but God will enable us to get through it and heal the brokenness. Amen. Amen. So who is the tempter? It's Satan. People say, well, just have self-control. Well, I'm going to tell you, the devil can become so strong, it takes more than self-control. You have to take authority over him and tell him to get out. No matter what our temptation or challenge is, the Lord will always make a way out if we'll believe him. Believe that scripture. In John 17:15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. There it is again. Jesus this time is praying for us. And he said, I'm not asking to take them out. I'm glad God has left you here for this time. But someday he's going to take you out, but not now. So he says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. We have to live in this world. It's God's will for us to live in this world and be a bright light for the glory of God. But at the same time, the Lord says, Father, keep Barry from the evil one. Can you say amen? Amen. Keep Scott from the evil one. Keep Jeff from the evil one. Jesus prayed to the Father, keep them from the evil one. The evil one is at work to kill, steal, destroy, and deceive every one of us. Jesus said the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Of course, he's talking about the devil, because everywhere he went, he was casting the devil out of people, setting people free, breaking the strongholds of evil everywhere he went. So Jesus Christ was at war with the devil his whole ministry. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. Say the Lord is faithful. Say the Lord is faithful.
The Lord is faithful.
And he will strengthen. He will strengthen. Well, I just don't think I can go another mile. He'll give you the strength to go another mile. And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. You see, the Lord will strengthen. That's in the Bible so many times, deliver from the evil one. The Lord will strengthen and deliver us from the schemes, the strategies, and the plans of Satan. Satan had a plan to cause problems for my ministry from before I was born, and it was problems with my throat. I had tonsillitis, you know, until I was about 16. I had a fever so high they thought it could have caused brain damage, but it's obvious it didn't. Anyway, they took my tonsils out at 16, and you need to get your tonsils taken out before, much younger if you can, if you're going to get them taken out, because it can be difficult at that age. But they took out my tonsils, and it went to strep throat, went from bad to worse. And even in seminary, all winter long, I'd have my throat wrapped up when I go out in the cold, and I'd have strep throat. I'd go to the infirmary to get penicillin shots to keep the stuff from killing me. And then God gave me those scriptures on healing and started healing me. And I haven't missed preaching for one time in over 46 years because of strep throat or any other sickness, because God gave me a word from heaven that broke that off of my life. And the devil still tries to put it back, as you know and can see at times, or have seen at times. But I just take authority over it because I know the word of God, that the word that God gave me. And I just put that in the devil's face. I said, devil, it is written. This is what God says. Yay. So he made a way of escape from the strep throat. Can you imagine a preacher missing half the sermons or more during the winter because it's such a bad issue with strep throat? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Now, I'm not going to stand here and put on the full armor of God for you. Yay. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. It tells you right there the devil has strategies. And we must first realize that we have an enemy that is daily plotting our demise. He's daily plotting your demise. He'll put ideas in your head. Well, those people don't like you. And you get to work and you're thinking that. Well, she doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. And if you think that, eventually you're going to act weird and they're not going to like you. And those thoughts are not just natural. That's coming from the devil. Somebody think about that. Why would you go around thinking that? People don't like me. You say, well, it's from some childhood problem. But who do you think caused the childhood problem? Lucifer. He's been working on you your whole life. He knew I was going to be a preacher, so he tried to set me up for destruction before I was ever born. And when I was born, things began to happen. You see, we must get into the Word of God, listen, and get equipped to stand against the schemes of the devil. And that's what it means by take on the whole armor of God. And if you read the whole armor of God, it's basically just knowing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and speaking the Word of God. And what is the shield of faith? When the devil shows up, you use your shield of faith by quoting the scripture, like, with his stripes I'm healed, devil. You're not putting that strip on me. You quote the scripture that God has given you, and you defeat the devil. Take on the whole armor of God. I've got a great sermon on that. I'll sell you for $50. Just hang around. I'll be preaching on it. I try to cover everything you'll need a time or two in 5 years. So you have to hang around at least 5 years. So take on the whole armor of God and defeat the devil. When I pray, I start quoting scriptures, taking on the whole armor of God. And when I leave the prayer closet, I have won. Amen. With the word of God. Well, having your loins girded about with truth. Taking on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and let the devil have it. You have an enemy. Jesus said so. Paul says so. Be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. If we will call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, he has promised to deliver us. He will deliver you from the constant harassment of the devil and help you to have peace in your heart and mind so you can go to work and act normal. And then, if you do have enemies, he'll take care of them. Amen. Now, listen to this. If we call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, he has promised to deliver us. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 39. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. And I've had some business people in this church, and not necessarily what you call a business person, but just some people working a job. They come to me and tell me about somebody's trying to get them fired, somebody that's harassing them at work, giving them a hard time, and we agree in prayer. And sooner or later, they come back, and God has delivered them one way or the other. And very often, God has fired the boss. And I'm just telling you, as a pastor, that I've experienced it over and over again. And someone had a partner that was causing big problems. And God was able to get them out of that mess. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's people right here in this church. I'm not at liberty to tell you any more than that. But I can tell you, not only have I witnessed this in my life, but I witnessed it in many of your lives. But if you don't know you have an enemy, and you do not know you have authority and a power over him, then you're going to sit back and allow yourself to be abused. Why so many Christians abused? Why so many Christians sick? Why so many Christians living in poverty? Why so many Christians mistreated? Very often it's because they do not know who they are, and they do not stand up and stand on the Word of God. I've learned I can stand on the Word of God and win any battle, any time. Amen. Worship the Lord, because it is he who will deliver us. Psalm 72, verse 12, for he will deliver the needy. You consider yourself to be needy, and you may have a lot of money, but you're needy emotionally and mentally and spiritually, needy when it comes to family matters and other things. For he will deliver the needy who cry out. What does that mean? Those who pray. All sin and need to pray. Well, it says here there's a need to pray. For he will deliver the needy who pray, who cry out. The afflicted who have no one to help. Satan wants us to believe we have no one to help us, but we do have someone to help us. Amen. Jesus Christ. Look, rather worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. Worship the Lord, because it is he who will deliver you from the people that don't like you, try to harm you, hurt you, jealous over you. Psalm 72, verse 12, for he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted, whatever afflicts you, who have no one to help. He will deliver the one who has no one to help. I have no one to help me. I have no one to stand with me. Yes, you do. Say, I have someone to help me. Say, the Lord is my helper. It's what it says in Hebrews, what it says in other places too. They quote it in Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. Say it again, the Lord is my helper. Satan wants us to believe we have no one to help us, but we do. It's the devil that's telling you you don't have anyone to help you or support you. Verse 13, and when you come to church, the devil's going to tell you somebody don't like you. Well, that preacher ran past you a while ago and didn't say a word. Well, I was chasing somebody I had to get a hold of real quick, and I didn't see you. If I saw you, I didn't have time to speak. It's not because I don't like you. Amen. And the devil does me the same way. Well, they just ignored you. They don't like you. I said, devil, you're a liar. Get out of here. We don't understand thoughts like that come from Satan. I know some people think that's silly. Well, you think it's silly all you want to, but you may wind up in big trouble because you got to take authority over that. Amen. Amen. You can believe anything you want to believe, but I've been through the fire many times, and I'm telling you what works. Verse 13, he will take pity on the weak and needy and save or deliver the needy from death. As I said last week, saved means to be delivered. If you're saved, you've been delivered from the bondage of sin. If you're saved, born again, you've been delivered from the old slave master, the devil. And now you need to take authority over him. But you have been delivered. And see, it's true, we all have already been delivered from anything and everything the devil has, including sickness, disease, failure, poverty, sin. We have been delivered from all of it. For by grace, Calvary, shed blood. For by grace are you saved, delivered, made whole through faith. And when we put our faith in him, we have available to us everything we need to be set free, to be made whole. But we have to receive it one way, and that's by faith. It's not automatic. Amen. For by grace, for God's provision on Calvary, you are saved, delivered, made whole through faith. It's by your faith in him and his word that you're saved and born again. And it applies to everything. It's by faith that you deliver from everything the devil has, but you have to believe for it. I was saved and born again, spirit filled, but I had to believe God to heal me and deliver me from strep throat. And of course he would just keep coming back. I'd get over it and he'd come back. And it was like a weakness. It was like demonic. It was like a spirit of infirmity. But when God gave me those scriptures, I started breaking that thing. You can ignore me if you want to. People have been ignoring me ever since I've been here 45 years. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. Verse 14, he will rescue them from oppression. You feel oppressed? Held down, maybe in a racial issue. You feel like people holding you down? Well, you can be delivered. Amen. Amen. You can rise up. Amen. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. Wow. That's good news since we live in such a violent society. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. I'm telling you right now, God likes you. Amen. He loves you. Yes. He made you. Amen. He knows all your faults and failures, but he loves you anyway. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Do you feel hopeless? Well, good news. You're not. Amen. It's the devil causing you to feel that way. You think no one likes you, it's because the devil has caused you to see people when in a hurry and they just run by you. It's not because they don't like you, it's because they're in a hurry and the devil tells you they don't like you. How do I know that? He does me that way. The Lord shall deliver you and me. I mean, you can find yourself in situations you didn't cause, you know, you're just serving God, doing your best, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a mess and you think, how in the world am I going to get out of this? You know, we bust thousands of kids, a big percentage of them inner city kids, and we had to have the police at times, but we had great vacation Bible schools in the classrooms, in perfect order. The kids got saved and learned the word of God, and all those years, I feel like Knoxville still changed right now because of all those kids that came to vacation Bible school, thousands of them, and this one kid, he was over here to middle school, and there's a there's a brick wall and about this much sidewalk space, and then there's the bus. And these three or four teenagers standing right in the door. I had made the mistake of dismissing the teenagers first. I said, get on the bus, because the kids, they just dismissed all the smaller kids, 12, 13, 10, 11, 12, and younger. And they were running down the sidewalk. And I said, get on the bus. You don't want these kids to trip. So we're not getting on the bus. Then I just reached over and caught one of them, picked him up. I mean, I'm a lot stronger now, look. And he's a teenager, about 50. I picked him up, set him on the bus, reached for the other one, and said, I'll get on the bus. And so they got on the bus. I got a job to do. I'm going to do it. Can you say amen? Yeah. That's just the way it is. That's still the way it is. God gives me a job to do. Get out of the way. I'm going to do it. Amen. And so when the bus drove away, that boy I caught by the arm started yelling out the window that I busted his lip. I busted his lip. And I almost wished I had, but I didn't. All I did was pick him up and set him on the first step. And so that night, I mean, that can destroy you. Me busting, and all of you working with us, bust thousands of kids and got one the devil tries to use to destroy the whole thing. Right. Sat down by the bed that night. I like to sit on the floor and pray. And the Lord began to talk to me, and back in those days, I had a bookshelf, and I reached up right by the bed, and I pulled the book off. Sitting on the floor, so he pulled this promise book off the shelf and turned the lamp on, flipped it open, and it says, God is not unjust. He'll not forget your work and the love you've shown him by helping his people and continue to help his people. He said, I've got it. It's worked out. It's okay. Say amen. Amen. Say glory to God. If he hadn't, I might not be here today. I could be in jail. Just kidding about. But I got Ronnie and one lady in the church that witnessed the whole thing. And we drove over to his house. His mother was putting him and his siblings in the van. And I walked up behind the van. She came around to where I was. And said, I want to talk to you about your son. And she said, I know. He said you busted his lip. But I checked his lip. His lip's not busted. So there's a little red where he tried to make it. And he said, I've been warning him about hanging out with these boys. And said, I am really going to let him have it. And I said, Lord, just let her bust his lip. God had that worked out before I ever got there. You see why I believe this? Amen. I've been living it all these years, my whole life. My daddy almost killed me a time or two. God even saved me from him. Okay. I mean, God would take care of you. Amen. If you obey him. Yes. When you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church and when you read your Bible, meditate on the word of God, if you're obeying him and doing the word, building your faith, God will help you. And if you're not doing those things, get started right now by jotting down some of these scriptures and going home and memorizing them. Isaiah 46, verse 4, even in your old age, I will be the same. And even in your graying years, I will hear you. I have done it. I will carry you. I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Wow. I pray that for all you older people. Pray for Stan every day. And I'm older than he is. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your grand years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you. And I will bear you, and I will deliver you. The Lord will deliver me in my balding years. Okay. The Lord says, even when you are old, I will deliver you. I will never forsake you. See, this is why I have no plans to retire. The Lord's carrying me, has always carried me, and He'll keep carrying me. Can you say amen? So when you're going to retire? When I don't come out that door. You know I just retired. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalm 44, verse 4, you are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob, or for me. Command victories. Let's go kind of quickly here. Got a small amount of time and a lot of word. Through you, we will push back our adversaries. Through your name, we will trample down those who rise up against us. You see, it is the Lord who enables us to win, enables us to defeat our enemies. Verse 6, for I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. You see, our talent, ability will not save us. There are situations, nothing I could do could save me out of that situation with that boy and that mother except God. But you have saved or delivered us from our adversaries, and you have put to shame those who hate us. The psalmist says, because we totally trust in you, you have empowered us to push our enemies back and trample on them. Today, Jesus has given us authority over our enemies. We need to use that authority not over demons, not only demons and devils, but He's given us authority over demonized people. Amen. Genesis 35, verse 5, and they journeyed, and a terror, listen to this, and they journeyed, and a terror from God fell on the towns round about them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. God sent a spirit of fear ahead of them, and they were afraid to touch Jacob and his sons. God can and will do that same thing for you, and probably has already done it. You're just not aware of it. God protected Jacob and his family by sending a paralyzing fear upon those who might harm them. Bad people were afraid to touch them because God sent a spirit of fear. He'll do the same thing for us. There's a guy who came to my office many years ago, but before we added this song, he came in and I discerned in my spirit, he's here for no good. He's here to give you a hard time. Have me thank God, God can warn you. And so I just sat there and tried to talk to him. And finally, he just got up and dismissed himself and left. And I thought, well, what in the world was that about? And then I ran into him somewhere else one day, and he said, you put fear on people. It wasn't me putting fear on him. It was God saying, you better leave him alone. Amen. Boy, I wished I had that. That's why I'm here. I know I got it. I'm telling you, you got it. Amen. You need to be aware of it. And you need to pray that God will protect you and ask Him to guard you. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamped all around those, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I'm trying to hurry because I got a lot of good stuff. Scripture, the Lord has angels assigned to deliver us even before we know we have a problem. They know what's going to happen. God and His angels knew that boy was going to accuse me of hitting him in the mouth. And He already had angels, I believe, working on that mother. He said, if the Lord delivered Paul and Daniel from the lion, Lot from Sodom, and Jonah from the sea and the big fish, He's got no problem delivering you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, you got to listen fast. At my first defense, no one supported me. And all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. The day is going to come when everybody runs away and you're going to be standing there by yourself. Amen. Or it's going to look like you're by yourself. Amen. But you're not by yourself. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation of the gospel, through the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. It could be that those lions had two legs, but it could be he was really thrown to the lions because the Romans did that. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. This is Paul Peter. Oh, Paul had all these horrible things, so I guess I'm going to have all these horrible things. Listen to what the man said. Amen. He went through some horrible things. You've been through some horrible things. I've been through some horrible things. Listen to what he said. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. He said, I'm not worried about it. Yes, I've been, he even bragged about it, about all the things he had been through. But he said, the Lord delivered me every time. Why do we miss that? Why do we miss that? He said, the Lord delivered me, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Judy Carter went through some horrible, difficult things, especially here at the end, but God carried her through all of it, and now she's in heaven dancing all over heaven. I will, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Paul says, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood with me. I can testify the Lord stands with me no matter what. I don't worry about it because I know God stands with me. I just need to be sure I'm doing what God told me to do. That's the key. If you're doing anything you want to do, you need to find out what he wants you to do. Then Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. He said, I'm not worried about the future. It doesn't matter what the devil's got. God's going to deliver me. The Lord has always rescued me, even when I caused the problem. Now, I didn't cause this problem, but we did this first building on a cost plus with this builder. And that meant he had a price, but then we pay for all the materials. Well, we didn't realize it, but he was taking advantage of that, and he was just buying everything. And when he was done, I had $60,000 of bills laying on my desk that weren't paid. There's no way in the world I could pay that. I said, God, what am I going to do? This builder really spent a lot of money. And I still can't explain what happened. The money just came from everywhere, and we paid every one of those bills. The Lord rescued us from bankruptcy. Can you say amen? $60,000 back then was three, four, five times what it is now. Amen. That's a lot of money. We've had all kinds of situations like that, but here we are. Acting like we got good sense. Genesis 19, verse 15. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of this city. God says, this city is so wicked, I'm going to destroy it. People say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm telling you right now, God does do stuff like that. And people say, well, I don't believe it. Well, Jesus believed it. Jesus actually said it happened in a couple of places. So I'm going to go with Jesus, not some theologian that makes stuff up. You see, the Lord rescued Lot and his daughters, even though they did not know destruction was on the way and they did not want to leave. The angels literally drug them out. Yay. To save them. I think partly it's because Abraham was praying for them. Verse 18, remember Lot, that was what, cousin or nephew to Abraham? What's the relationship? All you Bible scholars. Never mind. Verse 18, but he hesitated. Lot hesitated. So the men who weren't men, they were angels, seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the daughters of his, and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon them, and they brought them out and put them outside the city. They grabbed him by the hand and literally drug him out because of the compassion of the Lord. Well, I don't know if God's going to deliver me. I mean, it's such a mess, and I've been praying. Listen, stop that. Quote these scriptures. Can you say amen? Try saying, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. As much as I read that, you should have almost have that memorized. You see, God is a God of compassion. He cares about us. Verse 17, when they had brought them outside, one of the angels said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountain, or you will be swept away. When God gives you a warning, listen to it. It may not come from an angel. It may be just the Lord speaking to your spirit, but pay attention. You see, Lot's wife looked back in disobedience. She was told not to do that, and she turned her pillow of salt, which means she died. But the Lord delivered Lot and his daughters from destruction, even though the angels had to drag them out. And everyone else in that city was destroyed. The Lord will deliver you if you will obey him. The angel said, get out of here. And they finally took off. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 15. God called Nineveh, Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. He said, I don't like Nineveh, and I'm not going. And he got on the boat and went in a different direction. Exactly opposite to where he's supposed to be going. The Lord sent a storm after him. How many want the Lord to send a storm after you if that's what it takes to get you in the will of God? I don't want him to allow me to keep going out of the will of God. Lord, come after me. Hey, help me. So they took up Jonah. Jonah said, he told the sailors of the boat, he said, when the storm hit, he said, the only way this storm's going to calm down if you throw me in the ocean. And they were good guys. They didn't want to do that. But finally realized, if we don't do it, we're all going to be in the ocean. So they picked him up and threw him in, and the storm stopped. So they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared and appointed a great fish. Well, I don't know if a whale could swallow. I don't know how big. Listen, this says God prepared a fish. He designed a submarine that looked like a fish. People always trying to figure out some way to doubt. Get over it. God's God. He prepared the fish. Amen. Now the Lord had prepared. See, that's the devil puts those stupid ideas in our head. Well, fish, there's no way a fish. Yeah, not too long ago, a whale swallowed this guy. And his father watched the whole thing. And for some reason, the thing spit him up right back out in the ocean. And that was just maybe last year. Is that right? Yeah, that just happened. So if a whale can swallow a guy, this fish that was prepared by the Lord can swallow a guy. Now the Lord had prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus said this is true. He said just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be in the tomb. And then another place actually confirmed that God did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus said this is a true story. The second chapter here, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. What kind of mess are you in? That's a pretty bad situation. he's in the belly of a fish. And said, this is Jonah speaking, I cried out of my distress. Do you have distress? We looked at that a little bit last week. God wants to deliver you out of your distress. But you got to call on God. I cried out of my distress to the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol. And that means death. In other words, he was as good as dead in the belly of that fish. He said, cried I, and you heard my voice. And so God heard him in his misery, in his distress. And really, he was as good as dead. But God caused that big old fish to spit him up on the shore. And guess what he did? He went to Nineveh. Hey, just obey God up front. And you don't have to worry about the fish. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, the fish spit Jonah out on dry ground. And he lived to preach again. Hallelujah. The Lord delivered me from that lying teenager, and I lived to preach again. Jonah was a rebel. If God heard and delivered Jonah from the sea and from the big fish, he knows how to deliver you. Let's all stand.